Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this evening to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is one of the minor prophets. It's found right before the book of Zephaniah, right after the book of Nahum. So it's probably a little bit towards the middle of your Bible. The book of Habakkuk is not very long. It's just three chapters. And this is the book we've been studying for the last few weeks here on Wednesday nights, and the Old Testament book that we're going through right now. And I like the book of Habakkuk. I enjoy seeing that how God is working in Habakkuk's life and how God changes him. And as I mentioned before, this is pretty much a conversation that Habakkuk is having with God. I think sometimes we've had this type of conversation before, and we're see how God, how Habakkuk begins, and he brings his burden to God, and he says, God, I have a burden. I have something that's really bothering me. I have something that's on my heart. And we saw that in verse number 1, in chapter 1. It says, the burden with Habakkuk. And not only did he just feel it, he actually saw it. I know sometimes our hearts can become burdened because of something. But when we can actually visualize it, and we can actually see people living through it, boy, that can really just carry, we carry a load for it sometimes. And Habakkuk here continues, and he hears his burden, and he says, God, I've told you about it, and I've told you about it, and I've told you about it, but you're just not listening. It says in verses 2 and 3, he says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence? He's saying, look, boy, it is really, really important what I'm talking about here, God. I keep on crying out. It seems like you're not listening. He says, it's an important thing I'm asking for, and thou wilt not save. God, why won't you answer my prayers? And he says, why do you continue to make me live this way and go through this? He says, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? He says, why am I going through this? And he says, he keeps on going, and then he begins to describe what's going on that's wrong. He says, for spoiling and violence live before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. I think he's really thinking that he's telling God something he doesn't know. And that's one thing we got to remember, is God already knows all about it. He does want us to cast our cares upon him. He does expect us to be completely dependent upon him. But you're reading this, and he's saying, God, I'm crying out to you, and you're just not listening here. There's something wrong with the communication here. And he's saying, look, these are all the things that are going wrong here. And it's like he's telling God something he didn't know. In verse number 4, therefore the law is slacked. And because of the things that they find in verse number 3, verse number 4 is happening. And then it's saying the higher ups, the things that should be honorable, the things that should be pure, the things that should be just, like law and judgment, it's just not. And I said we can make the comparison, as we've done in the last 3 or 4 weeks, about America versus today. Therefore, the law is slacked, and the judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth come past about the righteous. And that idea that there's one person that's righteous amongst a large group that's wicked. And therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. We're getting wrong judgments. Seems like that's what's happening today, isn't it? We're getting some wrong judgments when it comes to things that even our Constitution does not support. But judges are saying, oh, this is what I think. This is what I believe. Wrong judgments that are happening, and people that are going against God. And then he continues on, behold, ye among, and so that was his complaint. That was the first time when Habakkuk had said his portion. And God answers him. He said, behold, ye among the heathen. And I think here he's talking to Habakkuk. And remember, he's not talking about the people in Babylon. He's not talking about the people in other areas like Assyria and the wicked areas where they worship false gods. He's talking to Judah, and he's reminding him, look, you're walking amongst the heathen. He's saying, look, God, and Habakkuk's saying, why won't you judge these people? And God's saying, I am going to judge them. He said, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. So God responds to Habakkuk's question. Habakkuk says, why aren't you doing something? He says, I am going to do something. And what I'm going to do, you're not going to even believe it, though I tell it to you. And then he begins to tell him what the judgment's going to be in verse number 6. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation. And then he begins to describe the bitterness and the hastiness of the Babylonian Empire. This is when Nebuchadnezzar is coming on the scene. And Judah is right now on the eve of captivity. And what Habakkuk does, he goes to God and says to God, why aren't you doing something? God says, this is what I'm doing. He begins to describe. And then here in verse number 12 is where we're at for the week. He begins to talk about the things he knows about God. He begins to try to figure some things out. I think this is important. Habakkuk has a burden. We talked about that. He brings it before God. God responds, and God answers the question not the way Habakkuk wanted. Habakkuk was hoping that God would do something inside the nation to cause the nation to get right with God so they can go back to the glory days when they used to worship him. But God's saying, I'm not going to think like you think. I'm not going to do things the way that you would do them. And Habakkuk is, he's confused here. He says, okay, God, you're going to take the Babylonians over here, this really, really wicked nation that does all these really, really wicked things, and you're going to have them come over here and destroy Judah. Now, why in the world would you use somebody more wicked than us to come and punish us? And in our human mind, in our human logic, that would be confusing. There's been other times in the Bible when God had allowed other foreign nations. You think about the book of Judges, when Israel had gone to wickedness, you know, Philistines would come, the other people, the Amalekites, they would come, they would do all these things. But you notice back later on that the Philistines never got away with it. The Amalekites never got away with it. And as we know in history, Nebuchadnezzar and the city of Babylon, they never got away with it. But God was going to use them to teach Judah a lesson. And Habakkuk's like, why in the world would you do that, God? And he goes, and I think he does something that's important. He reminds himself of some of the things he knows and some of the things he understands about God. And I think sometimes when we face hardship, when we face trials, when we are standing on the eve of just not knowing what's going to happen, that's what Habakkuk is. He reminds himself of some things he knows about God, and this helps him throughout the passage. And if we ever want to get to the spot where we have peace in our life like Habakkuk does, and when we're praying for the right things like Habakkuk in the end does, and how he learns to praise God and worship God no matter what's going on, like we need to learn, this is something we got to learn. We got to understand there are some things that we know about God. And these are things we grab a hold of and say, I know this is truth. No matter what the rest of the world might say, no matter what might be going on, I might not understand. The Babylonians can even come, and they can even capture, and can even destroy us. But I know some things about God. And that's what he's doing here. I think many times this is what we need to do is, even if we don't understand, we got to grab a hold of God and say, I know this to be true. Let's look here in verse number 12. It says, and this is Habakkuk once again responding to God saying, oh, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do something great. I'm going to do something powerful, but you're not going to like it. Even though these people are going to give the power unto their own God, I'm still going to allow it to happen. In verse 12, Habakkuk responds. He says, art thou not from everlasting? He asks him, he's like, what are you talking about? Aren't you the one that's from everlasting? And then he goes and says, O Lord my God. Now, I think that's a beautiful phrase. And as some people say, you know, my God in a very disrespectful way when they're surprised. Oh my God. You know, that's not reversing God the right way. I don't think it is. I mean, I know some people like to, they can even replace it, put the word gosh there. To me, I don't think that's very reverent. If you do it, I'm sorry, that's okay. You can say what you want, but to me, the name of God should be reverence. And that's, he's not saying, oh my God, because he's surprised. He's crying out and saying to him, hey, look, from everlasting, oh Lord, my God. It's personal for him. He knows him. He's bringing it. He doesn't understand why God would use the Babylon thing. He says, let me remind, this is who my God is. He's from everlasting. He's the Lord. He's my God. He's mine, Holy One. We shall not die. And once again, that's what he's saying to God here. He says, look, we're the Jews. You've made us some promises here. We are not going to die because I know some things about you. And then he continues on, and he goes and he says, we shall not die, O Lord. And then he begins to describe and trying to figure out what happens. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. Once again, he has prepared them, he said, for judgment. O and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. He's trying to understand what's going on here. He's repeating back what God has just told them. Thou art a purer eyes than to behold evil. He's saying, how can you do this? How in the world could you use someone who's wicked and evil? You have pure eyes, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And makest men as the... And he begins here to describe how the Babylonians cared for their captives. He didn't look at them as men. He says, and they make us as the men as the fishes of the sea. They could kill them and not think a thing about it. And they're nothing more to them than as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. Like they take no thought of their heritage or their leadership. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. And he's talking, he says, how can you let this happen to this nation that is so wicked? Because they even burn incense to other gods and worship other gods. Because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? He's saying, how in the world are you going to let this happen? Are they going to continue on and continue on, continue on and continue on? And see, Habakkuk has to learn that God's in control. Yes, God's going to use them to punish them, but at the same time, God's got a plan in the end. I want you, we're not going to get to verse number one here, but I do want you to see his response. This is not God's response. This is Habakkuk still talking. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's saying here, I'm going to go, I'm going to sit up there, I'm going to watch, I'm going to listen for God's answer. I don't understand what is going on at all, but I'm going to stop, and I'm going to listen, and I'm going to watch. And then God responds in verse number 2. It's a great passage of Scripture. We'll look at that next week. But tonight I'd like to focus on verse number 12, and I'd like to remind us some things that we know about God. Some things that we know about God, and in a world that is full of confusion. You think about it, we live in a world in daytime that there is no fear of God before their eyes. They just could care less that there is a God who created the heaven and the earth, and they could care less about having an answer to him today. We live in an age of confusion. Parents are confused about what to do with their children. Husbands and wives are confused about what to do in their marital relationships. The homes is not a place of bliss and peace. It's a place of trouble, many times like a war zone. Churches are confused. Pastors are confused. The entire world seems to be moving to a state of confusion, and the Bible says God is not the author of confusion. The prince and the power of this air, the god of this world, the devil, has caused this confusion, and we need to go back and look at some things that Habakkuk had to remind himself, this is the God I know. And remember, the Lord is a God that does not change. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord God, I change not. He is the same yesterday, he is the same today, he is the same forever. And Habakkuk goes and he says, these are what I know about you, God, and these are the things I'm going to hold my hat on, even though I don't understand. First thing he reminds himself of that's found in verse number 12 is that God is eternal. God is eternal. You see this phrase here, it says, art thou not from everlasting? The God we know is eternal. He had no beginning. He has no ending. And the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. It wasn't just, in the beginning, God. You know, God happened in the beginning. That's not what it says. In the beginning, God created. God was already there. When men come to know the Lord, they come to know the Lord that he is eternal. In every generation of human history, he has been there. He has been able to cause men to have faith in him, and people have had faith in the true and living God. And what God is able to do generations long ago is the same God that can do it today. And God does not work on the same patterns that we do. When he was bringing Babylon on over to take care of Judah, Habakkuk reminded himself, I am not dealing with an individual that lives in just our time period. I am dealing with a God that is everlasting. He has always been here. He knows the beginning from the end. And whatever he knows and whatever he chooses to do is always right and always best. And that's important to understand. Psalms chapter 90 says this so well. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. I think that's cool. The God I serve today was the same God that David served when he killed Goliath, the same God that Noah served when he built the ark, the same God that Abraham went up to try to sacrifice Isaac. And all generations, it's been the same God. And Habakkuk is standing on the eve of destruction, and I'm sure he's like we are today. How can it be this bad? How in the world can we handle what's going on? How in the world can all this be happening to us? The world must be coming to an end. God must have forgot about us. God must not know what's going on. And the first thing that I think is important to remember is that he has been there through all the generations. And whatever your issue and whatever your problem is, God is eternal and he's seen it before. Before the mountains were brought forth, in Psalm chapter 90 says, before the mountains were brought forth, and ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, ever, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He's eternal. I think that's what we got to remind ourselves of. Sometimes when we get to this spot and we wonder, man, the world's going haywire. What am I supposed to do? We serve a God that's eternal. He is preparing us for eternity. He's not just preparing for us tomorrow. And he has put us in this time, in this place, just like Habakkuk was crying out to God, just like we cry out to God today. And God's saying, you're not going to believe what's going to happen. We got to remember he's eternal. That's how he works. He doesn't work on the fact that what's going to happen 20 years from now or 30 years from now. He works in generations. Next thing is, not only is God eternal, I like to see that God is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. When I see this words, oh Lord my God, the first word I'm drawn to is my, because it's personal. But I think of the word Lord, and I think of the word God, it reminds me that he is not only eternal, but he is self-sufficient and self-sustaining. He depends on nothing to exist. He is God. I mean, if we did not have oxygen, whatever the word is. If we could not breathe, we did not have air, we would be dead. We depend on things. Our body, as much as man likes to laugh at God and point their fists up there, if God wanted to, he could just move us a little closer to the sun. We get all burned up. I mean, we are dependent on people. There is not a man, there is not a woman, though he may raise his fist and voice against God and declare he does not need God, that he is dependent away from God. It's just not so. God is self-existent. God without everything, God is still God. With everything, God is still God. We are dependent upon every person is dependent upon something. Every single person, it took a man and a woman to make. Science likes to think that they can make things. It took a man and it took a woman to make it. That's why we talked about same-sex marriage on Sunday. It took a man and a woman to make it. And we need to remember this. We're not talking about someone who is depending on anybody else. Habakkuk is there and he's saying, God, you can't do this. Don't you know how wicked Babylon is? God, you need to depend on me so I can tell you what to do. No, he doesn't. God knows it. God's just letting him in on the story a little bit. And God is saying, here, look, I don't need you to exist, Habakkuk. I don't need you to be help me along the way. I don't need the Babylonians. I don't need Judah. I don't need any of these things. He says, I am self-sufficient. I am Lord, and I am God. And as the Babylonians are getting ready to sweep down over the nation of Judah and carry away their young to captivity, the man of God reminds himself that not only is he eternal, but he's Lord. But more importantly, he's God. He's God. And you see that word Lord, and reminds us just that he is self-sufficient. We depend on people. We depend on things. We depend on air. We depend on food. We depend on drink. If not, we're not here. God's not like that. And we need to remind ourselves of that. When we come to the spot where we are overwhelmed, we need to say, man, he is eternal. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he does not need anything to make him God. He's already God. You keep on going, and he says, "As that, art thou not from the everlasting, O Lord my God?" And that next phrase, mine holy one, my holy one. And I begin to think about that, and you know what? God is holy. And what does that mean? He's pure. What does that mean? He does not make a mistake. What does it mean? It means he cannot make a mistake. He is holy. So when Habakkuk is coming to God and saying, God, you can't use Babylon to destroy Judah, he reminds himself, wait. He's holy. I might not understand why he's going to use Babylon. I might not get the concept why he's allowing these things to go on. But I need to remind myself that God is holy and that he is pure and that he cannot make a wrong decision. All this is grounded upon the holiness of God. He's pure, perfect, and holy. I don't know about you, but sometimes when relationships go awry, or sometimes when things get difficult, sometimes bad behavior happens. I've seen some of the worst behavior before. I've seen people get mad. I've seen people get upset. I've seen people get exasperated over just some silly things at times. But that is not God. God is not going to turn around and say, man, I am so mad at Judah. I am so miffed. I don't know what I'm going to do to him. Oh, I'm just going to let Babylon come down and destroy. That's not how God works. He works. He's eternal. He sees everything that's going on. He knows what he wants Judah to be like someday down here. He knows what's going to happen with Babylon. And so when we see in the story here, he reminds himself, God is holy. And I hope you learn that God remains the same. There will never come a time in the life of a child of God that God will stop being holy and that God will stop doing what is right. And that's what Habakkuk is remembering here. He's like, okay, he's from everlasting. He is the Lord. He's my God. And he's holy. And this is some things we just need to remind ourselves. When the world seems to be going awry and everything seems to go crazy, he's self-sufficient. He doesn't need us. We're the ones that need him and try to understand. And let's keep on going. It says here, he says, I like the next phrase, because I honestly believe that sometimes in this next phrase that some people might miss this, but he says to this idea, we shall not die. It reminds me that God is faithful. He's reminding him this. And Habakkuk here is responding to God, and he's saying to God these things, look, you're everlasting God, look, you're my God, and you are holy. But he's saying, we shall not die. He's saying to him, look, we are not going to die because we're Jews. God had made a covenant. He called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. He made him a promise. I'm going to make you like the sand of the seas and the stars of the skies. He's already done that. But that's a future promise too. And Habakkuk, being a prophet, knew that. He makes that same covenant with David, but even a little bit farther with David, and says to David, I'm going to bring the Messiah through your line. So Habakkuk knows that he has something that he's remembering to. Remember, God, you told me we're not going to die. He says, I know Babylon's coming. I know Babylon's going to destroy, and Babylon's going to carry away, and Babylon's going to do all these things. But I know something about you, God. I know that you're faithful. I know that you've made me a promise, and that this promise is something I can hold to. I think this is important to remember also when things are going awry and we don't really know what's happening. We also realize that God, we know, is faithful. This means that even when I lose my health, even when I lose my friends, even when I lose loved ones, I can lose everything in this world, and God's still going to be faithful and take me to heaven when I die. The worst thing that can happen to us is that we die and we go to heaven. I don't know, that sounds like a pretty bad thing to me, to be honest with you. He's faithful. He's faithful to us. It says in Job, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. But we know that God is faithful no matter what trouble we face. And that's what Habakkuk is here. He's standing on the eve of destruction, and he's heard that God's going to use Babylon to destroy them. And he's like, God, you're eternal. God, you're self-sufficient. God, you're holy. But God, I know you're faithful. I know that we're still going to hold to this. And last but not least, he's almighty. God is almighty. And God can do anything that God wants, whenever God wants to. And we know it's going to be pure. We know it's going to be right. We know it's going to be holy. Because look what he does. He says, O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And almighty God, and here you go, thou hast established him for correction. He was able to raise up a nation that could conquer the world. And we talked about America before. America came pretty much out of nowhere. God can bring up nations, and God can lay apart nations. God is almighty. And when we come to a spot in this world where we say, I am confused, I can't believe all these things that are going on, we need to go to the spot and remember, God is eternal. God is self-sufficient. God is holy. God is faithful to me. And God can do all things. He is not limited like we are. The God I know is almighty. And if we live by faith, we would be able to do the things that God desires us to do. You know, sometimes I get down. You know, sometimes things get hard. Sometimes things get discouraging. But just like Habakkuk, all I had to do is go back and remember the truths of God. Sometimes if things do not go my way, it's better to remember He's eternal. If things seem like nothing can get along without me, it's better to remember there's only one that's self-sufficient. It's not me. When things seem like it doesn't seem fair, it's sometimes better to remember that God is holy and that He's never going to make a wrong decision. People will. People will always disappoint. But God's allowed it to happen in your life, and He can take care of you. I think it's always good to remind us that He's faithful. No matter what happens in this world, the worst thing He can do is send me off to heaven. He's faithful. That's what Habakkuk is saying. No, God, You can't destroy us. We shall not die. You've given me this promise, and we can hold to that promise. Just like we talked about in Miss Clarine's funeral on yesterday. We got a promise we can hold on to. It says, I'm going to see her again someday. And that's a promise. But we got to remember He's almighty too. Sometimes I think we get so discouraged and think, man, if we don't get the right president, we're going to be in a mess. We're going to be in a mess no matter who was president. Even if I was president, we'd be in a big mess. It doesn't matter. You know what? But we serve a God that is almighty. If this doesn't happen, we're going to be in a huge mess. We're already in a mess. But we serve a God that can do all things. We need to remind ourselves of some things. This is the God I know. But these are some things we need to remember. When we're saying to God, God, why are You allowing this to happen? God, I can't understand what You're doing here. Let's remind ourselves of these things. He's eternal. He's self-sufficient. He is holy. He is faithful. And He is almighty. I think tonight some of us need to remind ourselves of that. Some of us need to find our faith in God and God alone and hold on to Him and say, He is mine and I am His and I can trust in Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight. I want to give you just a few minutes to be able to think about the things that were said and remind yourself that, man,